Good morning, everybody. If you could keep that passage open in John chapter 11, that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. Last year, I became a massive fan of a TV show called The Walking Dead. I'm not sure someone in my position should be recommending material like this. It is a little violent for my liking. However, gee, it's good. It's got everything you could want. It's got drama. It's got intrigue. It's even got a little bit of romance for you Jane Austen fans, all in the context of the global zombie apocalypse. What more could you want? And in this show, as you follow a small and decreasingly small size of a band of survivors, what's really interesting is how the constant presence of death affects their character. And maybe part of the reason I find this so compelling is because, for me at least, death is remote, largely. And maybe it is for you too. I mean, like you, I've been to more funerals than I would prefer, but it seems to me that in my entire life I've only ever seen one dead body. And it was a man pulled from the surf at McMaster's Beach. Like never before in human history, we are shielded to a very large extent from death. For the most part, death is a process that gets managed by experts in specialised facilities out there. Your average person on the street doesn't see or experience death in the way that previous generations have. But today, through Lazarus, death comes close. Necessarily then, there's an unrelenting heaviness to this passage. An anguish that is sustained and unrelieved. Lord, the one you love is sick. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus wept. But amidst all of the heartache, as he always does, Jesus provides genuine, real, robust hope. A hope that has something to say at the graveside. Specifically, verse 25, Jesus wants us to trust him when he promises, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, he will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? That's the question for us this morning. Do we believe him? Can we trust Jesus? So I'm going to pray as we take a closer look at this passage. Will you join me? Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for your goodness to us, that you speak to us through your word. And we pray now that as we listen to you, that by your Spirit we would so respond in trust and faithfulness. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, point number one, we've got a deadly delay. Pick it up with me at verse 3. Verse 3, Lazarus is sick, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he'd heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, the geography is important here. At the end of chapter 10, with his life very much in danger, Jesus leaves Jerusalem. He goes east across the Jordan River, about 2 days' walk, give or take. I've got a map here for you to have a look at. Can you see the asterisk on the right? That's where Jesus is now, roughly. And you can see Bethany. Bethany is the place from where Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. The thing to notice is how close Bethany is to Jerusalem. So by asking Jesus to come, they are asking Jesus to return to what is enemy territory. But what grabs my attention, and perhaps yours too, is verse 6. Where despite knowing Lazarus is sick, Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, what kind of response is that? This family is close to Jesus. We know that from verse 3. Lord, the one you love is sick. It's a point reinforced in verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is personal for Jesus. So why the delay? Unfortunately, we're not done any favours by the word yet at the beginning of verse 6. It should read so, and it's been corrected in the latest version of the New International Version, the Bible that you've got in front of you. And it's a right addition to have made. Mind you, that only makes our task more complicated. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus so, that is because he loved them, when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. What kind of love is this? How do we make sense of this delay? Well, to begin answering that question, I want to highlight an assumption. You'll see it there in verse 3. Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, the assumption is that Jesus can and Jesus should do something. It seems so obvious, doesn't it? Since Jesus loves Lazarus, he should go to Bethany and he should heal him. And that's what Jesus does, right? He's the miracle maker from Nazareth. Could you imagine dialing 000 and getting that message, your call is important to us? As if anybody believes that. And then you sit on hold for 2 days listening to Chopsticks or Greensleeves or whatever it is. They'd be outraged, wouldn't they? As it happens, given the seriousness of the illness and the distances involved, it's very likely Lazarus was already dead. Knowing this, rather than waiting for Lazarus to die, more accurately, Jesus makes sure Lazarus is unmistakably dead. 4 days dead. As one person put it, Jesus is making sure that whatever he's about to do next, this is not an emergency resuscitation. Lazarus is dead. Which forces the question, can we trust him? And we trust Jesus because he's promised this sickness will not end in death, but here we are. But you need to ask yourself, given everything that we've seen and heard of Jesus in our series so far, and we've seen a lot, is it possible that Jesus might have something bigger in mind? Something more impressive, something even more important than a miraculous healing for the one he loves. Verse 4, Jesus promises this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Do you remember the man born blind? How Jesus took that, the context, how he took that as an opportunity to showcase the work of God. Or so too here. Jesus takes this horrible mess as an opportunity to glorify his heavenly Father. Now, seen this way, far from being ripped off by Jesus, Lazarus has the privilege of being the one through whom his community will experience the glory of God. These sisters couldn't have dreamed of such a thing. They came to Jesus like we sometimes go to Jesus. They thought they understood the situation and they present to Jesus their preferred solution with a timetable. We could be very much like them, can't we? But as Jesus always does, he wants more. He wants more for this family and he wants more for you and me. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Yes, the delay is deadly. But to the glory of God, this sickness will not end in death. It's a deadly delay. And point number 2, it's also a painful delay. A couple of years ago, my family took me to Luna Park for my birthday. There's a ride, I think it's called the Drop. People strap themselves into this circular seat and then you get lifted about 40 metres high, from which you then get dropped to the ground at a very impolite speed, I might add. Now, it's the drop that makes people vomit. But for me, the worst part was the waiting at the top, swinging in the breeze, where you've got time to do a little bit of mental arithmetic. I wonder, when was the last time this machine was serviced? Just how well trained is that work experience operator at the bottom? The waiting is painful. On a scale altogether different, more seriously, Martha and Mary have been waiting, hoping, praying that Jesus would come. And he does, but so far as they can tell, it's all too late, isn't it? Verse 17, on arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. You can tell the sisters have been talking because they come to Jesus with exactly the same phrase. Verse 21, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now feel the force of that statement. The assumption introduced subtly in verse 3 is now out in the open. Where were you, Jesus? What took you so long, Jesus? Now, as a practical observation for you and me, it's worth noticing how Jesus responds to these two women because they process their grief in different ways. Martha, here at least anyway, she processes her grief through conversation. Mary, she weeps. Follow with me from verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now, Martha believes in resurrection. But it's a vague future hope somewhere out there. And so because Jesus loves Martha, he refines her faith. Verse 25, Martha, I am the resurrection. It's me. Your vague hope for the future, it's arrived, it's here, it's with you. Death is not the end for Lazarus. Do you believe this, Martha? Do we believe this? Yes, Lord, verse 27, I believe. But does she? Now, don't mishear me. I want to be generous to Martha. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt as much as we possibly can, if for no other reason. Her brother's just died. Let's cut her some slack. But I raise the tension because there's a noticeable disconnect between what Martha says she believes and what her actions tell us about what she believes. And there's nothing like a crisis, is there, to bring to the surface what it is that we really believe. Verse 39. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the resurrection and the life. Yes, Lord, I believe that Lazarus will live even though he dies. But don't move the stone. It stinks. Lazarus is decomposing in there. What are you thinking, Jesus? We could be just like Martha. We believe, but when death comes close, it's hard. Resurrection? Really, Jesus? Are you for real? I'm reminded of that man in Mark's gospel. He says to Jesus, Lord, I believe. And then in the very same breath, help me overcome my unbelief. And so Jesus gently, and that's all it needs in the situation, Jesus gently rebukes Martha. You'll see it there in verse 40. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? Now, for her part, Mary processes her grief quite differently. But look at verse 32. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. There's no theological discussion about resurrection. In fact, there's no real conversation at all, is there? Oh, Jesus weeps with Mary. And for Jesus, this is a powerful mix of grief and anger. Jesus is angry at what death has done to this family that he loves. Jesus is angry at what death does to a community. Jesus is angry at how death corrodes his good creation. Now, whether a person dies at 3 or 300, you get the feeling that Jesus would respond much the same way. He is troubled, and the crowd only adds to his sense of frustration. Verse 37, couldn't he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? At which Jesus, verse 39, is deeply moved again. Now he's really cross. Because these people, they mourn as if there is no hope. And they weep as if Jesus' presence at the graveside makes no difference whatsoever. And so finally, the moment we've been waiting for, Jesus acts. Having ordered the stone to be removed, Jesus prays. And he prays that what he's about to do for Lazarus will bring people to belief that he really is the heaven-sent Son of God. Look at verse 41, because that's what the miracle is meant to do. It's meant to produce faith. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here and us reading this account. Why? So that they may believe that you sent me. That's the point of the miracle. And with that, verse 43, the moment of truth. We've been waiting for the glory of God. Here it is, Lazarus, come out. Here is the good shepherd, the one who knows his sheep by name, calling his sheep and offering them what he promised, life to the full. Verse 44, the dead man came out. Don't you love the way John phrases that? The dead man, just in case we forgot. The dead man comes out. Who does this? Can you think of anyone who comes close to Jesus? He tells us to trust a seemingly impossible promise. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. It seems implausible. But then, in full public view, Jesus previews his life-giving resurrection by ordering a dead man to arise. Lazarus, come out. And he obeys. Is there anyone like him? Do you know him? I'd say you'd want to, wouldn't you? Last weekend, someone we know, a husband, father of four kids, fit, well, experienced. He was riding his bike in a national park. He slipped, fell, dead. What was interesting was online there were hundreds and hundreds of people who posted messages of support for his wife and their children. Many simply read, I have no words. I don't know what to say. And I get it. It's hard to know what to say in a situation like that, isn't it? But from what we've seen, Jesus and only Jesus can speak words of substance into a situation as dark as that. The one who would soon lay down his life and take it up again in order that we might live. This one, and only this one, provides words of integrity at the graveside. Words of power, words of love, words filled with life and hope and raw authority. I'm sure Martha and Mary, if they were with us today, they'd be the first to say that trusting Jesus in a situation like this, it's not easy. But based on their experience and given the evidence, I reckon they'd also say that Jesus is the one that offers the only hope for life in the face of death. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so as those who live in him, let's make sure that we are also those who live for him. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise. Through your Son, you adopt us into your family. And because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you give us eternal hope. May we be those who mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep, but to do so in a way that trusts Jesus with this promise. That death is not the end. And that through your goodness to us, you've promised us the glory of living with you forever. Enable us to grasp this promise by faith, that we would live rightly as your people. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.